Oh, sorry. God bless you all. Well, as you know, today we're going to be sharing about our mission trip to Honduras. And we want to start off by giving a wholehearted thank you for all the love, the prayer, the care and support that made this trip possible. So it's our desire to try to capture as much of this trip as we possibly can and share it with you all today. So what's going to happen is first the teens are going to come up and share their experiences and what it meant to them. And after the teens are finished, then Elvie is going to come up and share some pictures with you. And that'll be followed by a message. So before we get started, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we've come today gathered as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a family that was purchased by your blood. Father, we want to thank you for being such an awesome Heavenly Father. We bless you for conquering sin, death, and the grave. And we want to thank you for the new life that you've given us, the new hope, the new identity, the new purpose for living. We want to thank you for the hope that we have in the resurrection. Father, there's so much to thank you for what we've experienced in Honduras. We would be forever here thanking you for all that you've done. And Father, as we share, Father, we want to pray that this would be edifying to the body, that this would be encouraging and challenging at the same time. So, Father, we pray that you would be here with us and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, first I'd like to invite up Mallory, Zara, and Chloe.
Hello. I just want to say that this trip that I went on has really blessed my life. And I got to know some really amazing children down there. And through getting to know them, I got to talk to them about their interests and what they want to do with their future. And it was really cool to see that even though they'd all gone through so much, they still had this hope for their future. And throughout the week, we went to the school with them, and we each worked in a classroom with them. And I worked in the second grade, and I couldn't really talk to some of them sometimes because, you know, it's a bilingual school, but they like to speak Spanish mostly. So I couldn't really help out that much. Like, sometimes I'd just be like another pair of eyes. But there was this one day when this kid, Santiago, he came up to me, and they were doing social studies, and they were learning about communication, and so they had to draw, like, different things to communicate with, and he asked me to draw a picture of a phone, and he was like, oh, that's really good, and then he just walked away, and then the next day he came up to me, and they were learning about vehicles that day, so they had to draw, like, a few, like, vehicles that were in their books. And he came over to me, he's like, okay, now you're going to do my homework for me. I was like, no. And so I got another piece of paper, and I did, like, a step-by-step how to do it. And by the end of the class time, he, like, wanted to do, like, five more. So we ended up going into, like, the lunch period doing it. So we were late to get back to class from lunch because of that. But I thought it was really cool. And towards the end of the week, getting to know these amazing children, I started to feel, like, upset about going back home and, you know, not getting to see them. And so I just was thinking about, like, what could I do at home? And over the last couple of days of the trip, the children, they did letters and pictures for all of us. And they came up and gave them to us. And I was like, you know, that really impacted me. So how much more would that, like, impact them? Like, to show them how much they're loved. Like, I go back home, and I didn't forget about them, you know? And over the trip, I really struggled with, like, my future, like, being worried about it. And over this trip, I've learned that I need to trust in God, and I need to be an empty vessel for him. And he'll do what he wants for my future through me. And one of the ladies that ran the program, Mary, she talked on Sunday with us during our church service. And she was saying that to each morning when you pray for a soul to bless, and God will give you that soul. So that's another way that, another thing I learned from the trip.
I think this experience changed me by realizing that I can't have any of my future planned out without God, because only God knows what my future is. Just seeing those kids made me think that most of them didn't know God when they went to the village. They would have never thought that they would be there without God's plan for them. I have a lot of treasured memories on this trip, but these are the memories that I enjoyed doing. I got to learn how to make tortillas with Virginia and Mallory, and I got chased by a tarantula. But I also enjoyed worship time with the kids, because it was just amazing, like, to be there with them worshiping God together. I feel very blessed that I was able to go there, and not only they could be a part of my life, but I can be a part of theirs. When I was there, I felt an overwhelming sense of love and care from them and from everybody there. I will never forget them and what they mean to me. I thank God every day that I was able to go on this amazing journey to Honduras.
For me, the trip was very eye-opening. Miss Elvie had warned us, you know, they're very huggy, very, you know, touchy-feely, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was like, I got it, just a couple of hugs. But it was so amazing when we first got there. You know, we had met the boys, and they're separated, girls and boys. And we went to the girls, and all of a sudden, you just see all these younger girls just running up to you, grabbing onto you, and hugging. And I was just a little teary, because they don't know you, and yet they just want to love you, want your love, want to hug you, want your affection. And it was just so touching for me. And there was this one little girl. She was, I think she was two, but she was a younger baby. And she always just looked so sad. And she had this, like, eyes. They, like, you just look at her and you knew that she was just hurt inside, even if she was so young. And so it was my goal to go up to her and to make her happy no matter what. And you can ask my family. I'm not the greatest with babies. I know Cora had handed me a baby and it started crying one day. But this little baby, every time I came, she would get really excited. We would play together, and it was amazing. And I think for me, this experience has taught me that life isn't something that I have to do. It's something I get to do. And I know for me, like, getting up 4:30 in the morning and go to the school, like, I'd get up and I'd go to Chloe and Mallory, who shared a room, and like, get up, guys, come on, we get to go to school, we get to go on the bus, yes, school is great. And then we'd go outside, and it'd be really hot and sunny. I'm like, yes, it's warm, yes. All these kids, like, you know, they cling to you. I don't even care if it's hot and sweaty when you cling to me. I don't care. Hug me all you want. Even the mosquitoes, because, you know, they're Honduras mosquitoes. Well, okay, not really the mosquitoes, but even if they're Honduras, no. But for me, I just really brought home the fact that things we do, we don't have to do them. We get to do them. We get this opportunity. And for me, it was just really a blessing.
So they all had their little papers. I got my brain. That's all good? Okay, good. So Monday through Friday, you on a normal year, you go to or all of us have gone to school. We've all, you know, gone through that experience. So in the time we were in Honduras, we had Monday through Friday, went to school every day. We woke up at
4:30.
4:45 every morning, and we got ready. We did normal morning stuff. We went outside. We kind of waited with the boys, and this bus came. I didn't realize this like beforehand, but there are these tiny little things. But I mean, like, even though a bus isn't exactly tiny, that we take for granted. My school, it's huge. We have so many buses. There's 110 kids. They have one. And so there's this one bus that we're all crammed into, minimum 3 people a seat. There are people standing. I got to stand for like 3 of the bus rides. It was pretty nice. But so that morning, we got on the bus. I got escorted to the back. I was like the back, like 5 seats. I was sitting with some kids. It was really nice. I know the girls had experiences of the little kids sitting on their laps. I was not subjected to that. It was all good. I thought it was so cool because it's so much different out there, and like the kind of like the family kind of feeling that you get around the mall, like in that bus. Well, I guess everywhere, but especially on the bus, there's like you. Hey guys, and not to mention the bus ride is an hour long to the school, and so we're sitting like in your little one by two. Hey guys, and I thought that was so cool, and I know I'm never gonna forget that. Another thing that we did was at the school. It was Friday. Your schools have probably all had field days. That was great. We played soccer, me and Virginia. We were on the soccer team, and that was rough. Well, I'm gonna feel like pretty braggadocious about this, but on my school soccer team, I'm like one of the best people on the team in Honduras, and on that soccer team, I was the worst. I was that was the weak link. Yes, I was the weak link. I was bringing the whole team down. I was the gringo. and they let me play for a lot of the game, and I think they knew that I was only here for a little bit of time, and they let me play. Probably wasn't the best for the team. We won. We won the soccer tournament. It was amazing. Super hype. We won. It was a really fun game, and they let me play, and I'm really thankful for that. And so what I learned from this trip is to notice the small things, don't take them for granted, and live like they do.
So as Liam was talking about the soccer game, and I think Chloe mentioned the tortillas, one of the things that I definitely learned on this trip was a bit of humility. Like, they are a little vicious. Like, those tortillas, mine were crap, and they're just like, give it over. Like, let me fix this. You suck at this. soccer, they were absolutely pleased to just show you how awful you were. It was great. And, you know, and I can understand a little Spanish, and they would just be rapidly dissing me behind my back, and it's just like, oh, great, you know, thanks, guys. But one of the really cool things was one night we were, like, at the boys' house, and I got to talk with a couple of the boys about what they wanted to do. And I know, like, Cesar wanted to be a mechanic. He wanted to, you know, learn how to fix cars and eventually design his own models. And I was like, oh, wow. And he, you know, he's talking about how he really liked math and engineering. Julio wanted to be a doctor. He wanted to go to medical school, or he wanted to follow in his soccer career. He was a very talented soccer player. Well, I mean, Jafet wanted to marry me. I know that. that was his goal in life.
I was the cuñado.
Brother-in-law, yeah. and just in the school, I think for 3 days, I was given the opportunity to be in the math class with Steve. And every day I would be in math classes from 7th to 11th grade. They didn't have 12th grade. And a couple physics classes. I've never taken physics before, but I tutored kids in physics. I don't know how that worked, but somehow it did. And it's just, I was helping out some of these younger kids. It was, you know, basic algebra and linear equations and stuff. And I've tutored kids before, and a lot of the times it's just like, okay, you're here for half an hour, you're leaving soon, right? Like, can we hurry up and get this along? And I was tutoring these kids, and they were just like, oh, well, what about this? And how does this make sense? And what if I apply it this way? And what if you change the sign this way? What does it do? And they were just so willing to ask questions and ask me how things worked. And, you know, just they always were looking for more information. They were always looking to better themselves. And it's one of the things that I noticed being in public school when I got back. It's just, in America, we have so many opportunities, and so many of these kids just squandered them. They just were like, I don't really want to. You know, and if any of those kids from Honduras were put in that position, like if Julio was put in America, the amount of work that he would be put in to getting accepted to med school so he could become a doctor would be tenfold the amount that some of these kids have put in. And I know Francisco rebuilt an entire garden once one of the storms that came through like washed all away, and he's coming up soon, and he's going to be working in a landscape internship, and they just put so much work in, and it's just kind of sad to see that with all the opportunities that we're given, we don't really take them. And I thought that that was a little upsetting, but it was eye-opening for me to see that difference. So, yeah.
¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo están? Or as one of our teens would say, ¿Qué tal? And I was like, ¿Qué tal? What does that mean? Until I figured out it was ¿Qué tal? But I need to stand here, so I'm hoping you guys, can you guys hear me okay from here? Because we're going to be doing pictures, right? That we're doing. Oh, okay. Thank you. Are we good with pictures, Janet? Yeah? Okay. Thank you very much, Lou. I appreciate it. You guys did a great job. Is it fun?
Okay.
All right. So can everybody see the pictures okay? Yeah. All right. So, I just want to say I was really blessed and honored to be with this team. Last year I went and spent about 15 days there with a friend of mine who had just gone the summer before. Her church was the one that got us hooked up with Honduras and Heart to Heart. And these guys just really blessed me, and, you know, each one of you guys. They were very hardworking people. Very, you know, we got up every morning at 4:45, except for one morning, where I jumped up. And I said, come on, guys, we're running late. Let's go, everybody. And then Liam very patiently came to my door and said, Alvia, it's 2:45. You're on USA time. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. Quick, everybody go back to bed. Which we did. So they were very patient with everything, and they were just really great team. And a lot of compliments came from Mary Frencher, from Amy, from everybody, you know, House Mommies, everybody. So this is them dedicating themselves to praise and worship. Every night the girls were either do praise and worship with the boys or the girls, and really tried to make an effort to go back and forth like that. So I'm just going to try to speed up a little bit. Next picture, please. I'm not sure if anybody's with me back there. Okay, thank you. So this is the garden that Virginia spoke about. I'm just going to keep going through it, Jen. Thank you. And they have chickens now. The chickens, actually, the boys are trying to tell me how they kill them, and I said, we're good. And I walked away because, you know, we were having chicken that night. So I'd be naming all them, so I didn't stay too long with the chickens. So these are the roosters and the chickens there. And keep going, thanks. And, okay, coconut. So coconut was a big deal. We even have a video, right, of you and Liam on the last day. They learned how to take these coconuts, which, by the way, I've traveled a lot, and I've never seen orange coconuts, so this is pretty cool. And they both, you know, hit the tree and, you know, did their manly thing, oh, grunting and everything, and drank from the coconut. So that was cool. And this is a lot of the girls. This is actually Julissa, not Jacinia. Genesis and Martha, I think. If you guys see the wrong name. Yeah, that's Julissa up there. Okay. Chloe with Nicole at the girls' house. So that Saturday, a lot of our team blessed the kids, and Mary French was really blessed because they were able to help them with music lessons. And everything is really, radical there, right? It's like really loud. It's like really chaotic. So not your typical music lesson. Steve was allowed to go to the girls' house. No boys allowed there, but because he was helping, he was tutoring one of the girls, and the girls were just really blessed to always be around him, and they shared a lot of their concerns with him. Keep going. Thank you. This is pretty much our last day, I think, at the girls' house, which was a very sad time for us, and we loved them all, and you can see that they really, this is how we pretty much live, you know, when you're down here. And then, oh, this is not, have anybody heard the story of what's his name? In the shower?
Jerry.
Jerry. This is not Jerry. But this was an iguana that fell in the pool. We did have our pet Jerry, iguana, that's not her name, in the house. So this is Santiago that you heard about, and that's our Carlito, which I think you're going to talk about. Okay, so I won't say anything about that. And us playing, my job was bless us with a lot of toys for the kids. So it really was a blessing to be able to bring them down. We're just going to keep going. And Steve and Liam, they had special, Jafet and Jafet, and I think that's Arlen over there and many others that were very clingy to them as well. Here's Jafet and Corbin. And what is his name? I forget the little one. I can't think of his name right now. Daniel. Okay, Daniel. Can I keep going? Thanks. So you see Jeffrey Road. Now, this is the little one that she just came. I think that's who you were talking about, right? Yeah. That's the second Dunya that came. She came. She was 2 years old. Just came a few months ago. They have 11 new kids since I've been there last year. And she was 14 pounds at the age of two. So she's a little bit heavier now. She's probably about 2.5 or 3 now. So she's very petite. And that's one with the sad eyes that Zara made reference to. This is Steve, decided to help the boys collecting leaves. And this is Isak. Isak is a Down syndrome child. They do have some Down syndrome kids, and some that have just been so abused that they cannot speak well, you know, and all that. They will be with them always, and they give them jobs. They're teaching them. I think we have a picture, if you keep going, of different jobs that they do. This is us desperately trying to play Uno. and it is very difficult, but those guys cheat like crazy, right? Sammy, he's one of the biggest cheaters. Sammy is such a character. He's one of the ones that will always be with them. You know, yeah, he's a good kid. Here's a famous tortilla making. So, yeah, they were having a good time. I'll keep going. Thank you. And then this is us helping out in the kitchen. This is basically how food goes. So we get in the act of serving and helping and, you know, do what we can while we're there. And we'll keep going. That's some more of that. I have no idea what I was handing out, but we were handing out some candy, Easter stuff probably. And there's Santiago. This is their base that we do dinner. We just sit out there and do dinner. Sometimes we had it in the kitchen with the mommy. So keep going. Thanks. Oh, that's Donald Trump. Yeah, they have a new dog named Donald Trump, so since I've been there. Okay, keep going. That's a view from the bus. The kids like to take pictures out of the bus, so we actually were blessed with some of the videotapes and stuff from the bus. And this is the bus that Liam talked about. Now, Chloe and I had about, 7 people on our seat a lot of times, right? Yeah. So that's, yeah. And there's a regular bus seat. Now, this little girl over here, she's a young girl, Maribella? Barbella. That's Diana's sister, Diana who passed away. And that was her only family that was left. She's beautiful, you can see. Diana was beautiful. And we talked about that. They're very open, you know. And they, actually, right after Diana died, it was amazing. Amy told me the story how God provides. And if I'm going too long, please let me know, okay? There was a 70-year-old child psychologist came by who was tired of working with kids. And he came on this mission trip, didn't know why. And it was perfect timing. Diana had just died, and he was able to work with the kids and gave them a new fire for working with kids and a new fire for the Lord. Keep going. Thanks. And these are more children. These are 2 new ones. They turned the boys, you see the boys' housing, into the little kids' school. So the older boys now live someplace else, the very older ones. Okay, and then you see how some of the team were helping out. We're going to just keep going a little bit faster if we could. Thank you. That's Steve with Nina, Nora, helping at the kids' house. And this is the school, and you can see how involved everybody was. That's the medical dental clinic. And that's actually field day. So we're going to go quickly through it if you could, Jen, and thank you. And there you go. You got Virginia over there playing with the boys. Liam down there, some action shots. There's Liam with his team. And up there, the two besides Liam are the two that really, I think, won the game, right? Corbin and Kevin, they really did a good job at the end, yeah, right? And then the girls' soccer team as well. And it says more field day pictures. And more field day pictures. Yep, your field day. And, oh, this is actually an Easter egg hunt that we did. We stuffed all those, about 240 plastic Easter eggs with jelly beans, and one of the girls had it in her hair. And this is our, you can see up there, that was Myra. so, and then I think, Chloe, you had some in your hair, too, right? She's putting your hair. So this is our last day with Mary Frencher, with Oscar, with Amy. We really didn't get a chance to see Oscar very much, but it was church day, but there was no electricity. So we went upstairs, and we had a wonderful fellowship with them. And it was actually supposed to be Happy Father's Day, because Happy Father's Day was like a Monday in Honduras, or some radical thing. So it was the Monday we arrived, yeah. So they did it that following Sunday. Are we done with pictures? Or? Okay. And that's pretty much it. I was blessed to be there. I just want to share that you did hear today that I am, but you know, by the grace of God, I think I'm going for at least a year there. Let's see what happens. They do give you a way out, so it's not like you have to be there with, you know, whether you hate it or not. But it is something that I have been praying for over a year since I came back. So it's not just like I just made my decision really quickly. And so it is something that I believe I'd like to try to do, you know. So and I'm blessed to be able to have been a part of this team. And thank you for your support.
Thank you all for sharing. For the last month and a half, the walls of our fellowship hall have been decorated with beautiful pictures of these children who belong to the orphanage in Honduras. And it was by God's grace that we were able to see those pictures, to see those faces come alive. And it was through our visit that we saw God's resurrection power made manifest. You see, it's the power of the resurrection that gave purpose to our trip. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." Now, what this verse means is that if there is no resurrection, then we should seek all the comfort, leisure, pleasure, and ease that we can now, because this life is all we have. We should seek all the comforts now. But the truth of the resurrection gives us a hope. Now, hope is a confident expectation that something really great is going to happen. You know, hope isn't, boy, I hope it doesn't snow tomorrow. I hope we're done with the snow, actually. But that's not biblical hope. No, biblical hope is a certainty that something wonderful is absolutely coming. And this hope calls us to think and to live for what's coming. Now, that future event is the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I had asked the team before we got there why they wanted to sacrifice a week to serve in an orphanage in a foreign country. What was their goal in going? And I heard responses like, "I want to make the most out of every opportunity to serve the Lord. I want to leave it better than when we first arrived. I want to gain insight of what it's like to live in these conditions and advance God's kingdom there." Those were the reasons. Now, because of the resurrection, because of the fact that our hope in Jesus Christ is returning, our reward is coming, this team, their parents, and the church were willing to take the risk and make the sacrifice to invest in eternity. And it was through this opportunity that we really appreciate what the resurrection accomplished. The power of the resurrection gave permanence to all that we did. My week started off on Monday when I was placed in a room with 30 third grade students and one teacher. That teacher didn't have a chance. And the teacher was actually teaching Spanish, and I noticed that she was struggling to carry her voice over the noise. And actually something became wrong with her voice. It was starting to get scratchy. So I asked her, "Necesitas agua? Do you need water?" And she was like, "Oh, por favor," you know. So I went and got her a glass of water. When I handed her the water, I felt the Lord very strongly put on my heart, I will not forget this. I will not forget this. You see, the resurrection gives us a hope that when Jesus returns, he will reward his people for all that they've done in Christ. Luke 14:14, Jesus says, "You shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." In Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." Now, what these verses mean is that there is permanence to what we do for the Lord. You know, all of us want our work to have an eternal significance. You know, people strive to build great businesses, big buildings, beautiful parks, even magnificent families, in the hope of having a long-lasting effect. You know, I remember a time when one of my boys, they were building something really big with the Legos, and when he was done, he was so excited about it. He poured his heart into it and was so excited about his work, until one of the younger brothers came along and just knocked it over and destroyed it. He was so devastated. He was so upset that all of his hard work was destroyed. We all want our work to be permanent. But in a fallen world, that's just not possible. Construction will eventually fall apart. Bridges can be destroyed by natural disasters, like the one near the children's village. There was a bridge on the main road, you know, that was totally destroyed by massive rainfall earlier in the year. But regardless of whatever our occupation is, all of our hard work doesn't last forever. But because of the resurrection, it is permanent, because nothing done for and through Christ is in vain, regardless of what happens to it here. So every cup of water, every dollar given, every prayer prayed, every donation given, every pencil sharpened, every hug, fist pump, and high five, every encouraging note, engaging smile, song sung, tutoring lesson, necklace, calligraphy sign and pictures made, every flashlight and battery given, toothbrush and yo-yo donated, everything done for and through Christ on this trip is stored up permanently and will be remembered and rewarded at the resurrection of the just. Paul writes about this in Philippians. Now, the Philippians had given Paul a very generous gift, and we see that Paul was very excited about it. He writes in Philippians 4:10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." However, Paul wasn't excited about the money, because later on he tells them, "I'm okay without this money. I don't need this money. I'm okay to live in riches and I'm okay to live in poverty. Either way, I'm okay." Paul wasn't excited about the money. So why was he so excited? Well, he writes in verse 17, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." See, he's not excited that he has the money, but he's excited that the Philippians had stored up an eternal reward for themselves when Jesus Christ returns. That's the fruit that abounds to your account. So regardless of the effect that we see in our labor here, the resurrection makes it permanent. It's stored up as a treasure that lasts forever. Now, we praise God for all the ways that you contributed, your prayers, your gifts, the financial support, and we rejoice in the fruit that abounds to your account. At the same time, these children added to their account. As it was said, we had an abundance of hugs and embraces. It was constant. Their love was so evident in the way that they received us at every moment. You know, in the girls' village, I can still picture all the girls running out of the house, running down the street to hug us, embrace us, and welcome them when we came over. One of the boys, Japhet, he always made sure my water bottle was full. He would always ask me, "How much water do you have in there?" And I'd say, "It's about half full. Oh, let me have it." He would take it, go fill it for me, and always made sure my water bottle was full. Then there was another boy that made sure that I was not late for dinner. whenever he knew. But he would come, when I was in the boys' village, he'd come running across the field and he would gesture. And then that's exactly how he would go. And then when they saw me sitting on the ground during the times of worship, they would bring a chair over to me and insist that I would sit. When I entered the bus, they would give up their seat so that I can sit. And they insisted on it. They wouldn't take no for an answer. When we did calligraphy, we made necklaces and drew pictures with them, they would actually try to give that back to us. And we had to explain to them, no, these are our gifts to you. But then they would say, no, no, I make this for you. This is yours. I make this for you. You know, it's all that they had to give. They had nothing else to give. But whatever they did have, they gave it. As we sprinkled Jesus' love and care to them, they doused us right back. And it's the resurrection that makes everything that was done eternally rewarding. We saw God's resurrection power also manifested in the origin of the ministry. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Oscar was a pastor in the state of Washington. Amy, his wife, grew up in Louisiana, and she has an eighth grade education. She later received her GED. When Hurricane Mitch devastated Honduras in 1998, Oscar began getting relief materials from local churches in Washington. They actually filled up a large metal container. One of the other local pastors encouraged Oscar to go down with the container. When he arrived in Honduras, they said, "Send the container back. Send it back. We have five other containers and no way to get it inside the country. All the roads and bridges were totally washed out. There was no way to get in." So what ended up happening was the local churches in Washington bought Oscar a truck. And he went down with it. And he was able to drive through the rivers and streams of water to get those materials into the people. Well, eventually he connected with an orphanage and began working with them. But unfortunately, that orphanage turned out to be crooked. So it was forced to shut down. All of the children in that orphanage had to go with no place to go. They were just left. So Oscar and Amy were helping many children with their relief efforts. And eventually the local officials found out what they were doing and started to connect them with certain people. One person donated 8 acres of land so that they could build the children's village. At the same time, a retired elementary school teacher in Washington State was led to connect with Oscar and start a bilingual Christian school in Honduras. Miracle after miracle took place where they now have a children's village, a bilingual Christian school, a Spanish-speaking school, a medical clinic, and a house where they disciple the older girls. So we have a pastor, a wife with an eighth grade education, and a retired elementary school teacher started worldwide heart-to-heart ministries that has transformed hundreds of broken, desperate, and impoverished lives for the glory of God. Amy says that the secret to their success was that they have no clue what they're doing, and they're desperately relying on God for everything. You know, an example of this, as Elvia shared, is when Diana passed away earlier this year from the flu. The kids were devastated and they were scared. And Amy said, "We had no idea how to process this with the kids." But there was a man who was retired from being a psychologist in a school district in the States. He volunteered to come down and did an amazing job there. He led the kids to make a wall and a board of remembrance of Diana. And it was a very effective work, and God really blessed that effort. Another instance is when Amy was invited to speak at a youth conference in the States. She said that they probably won't be inviting her back. You see, all the other speakers, she spoke last, but all the other speakers that went before her had the same message. They had a similar thing to say. They said, take all of your dreams, your desires, your wants, and lift them up to God and ask Him to bless them. Well, when it was her turn to speak, she got up there and said, take all of your dreams, your hopes, your desires, and your wants, and throw them in the trash. Give yourself completely to God and become an empty vessel for Him to fill with His resurrection power, and He will take you places beyond your dreams. Surrender it all to Him. You know, in talking with Oscar, Amy, and Mary, it's obvious that they've developed a rich dependence and trust in God's leadership and ability. You know, for years, they've been praying for the Lord to provide a trained leader or leaders to actually run the ministry after it began. They said, we had no problem starting this thing, but we really wanted someone who can come in and run it. You know, somebody who knows what they're doing. Little did they know that God was going to use the weak and inexperienced to show how powerful He is. God's power was made manifest through their weakness. We've seen God's resurrection power in the lives of the kids. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. By the middle of the week, we were hearing stories from the children. They were beyond horrific, beyond horrific. One of the children, about 3 or 4 years old, he was bitten by his father in his face. His father was drunk. That's Josue. The wound was so severe that his lip and chin was ripped open and a large chunk of his nose was removed. There was an outside ministry that came in to actually reconstruct his face. Another girl said that her mom wasn't in the picture, but her dad would just randomly beat her for no reason, just because he wanted to. And he wasn't feeding her either. She would go to her dad and ask for food, and the dad would say, okay, if you do this job, then when you're done, I'll feed you. So she would do the job and she would come back and he'd say, okay, now do this job and then I'll feed you. She would do it and then he goes, okay, now do this job and then I'll feed you. And that kept going on and on for days. Until one day she was laying on the curb waiting for her dad to come out of the bar, and a Christian lady walked by and started asking her questions. You know, what was going on? So the Christian lady got her pastor involved. The pastor approached the dad, and the dad punched the pastor in the face. And when he did that, he turned to his daughter and said, listen to me. You never, never listen to anybody who talks to you about God. Never listen to them. Well, what ended up happening was the pastor got the police involved, and through a process, this girl was brought to Oscar and Amy. Years later, she is now saved and in love with Jesus Christ. You know, other kids said that they didn't know where their next meal would come from or if they would actually survive the beatings. One dad would just like to throw knives at the kids. You know, others were just abandoned in the mountains or in the streets of the city, and the police pick them up and bring them to Oscar and Amy. But one of my favorite questions to ask during a week is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I heard responses like a doctor, a pilot, a teacher, a missionary, a veterinarian, a pastor, Christian songwriter, immigration lawyer. But they would always end up, they would end it by saying, but whatever God wants. So to go from horror to hope, from devastation to a sure confidence that God has plans for their future and a hope is just miraculous. God is giving them a new life, a new identity, a new father, a new family, and a brand new destiny. In each picture you see downstairs, there's a devastating past in their eyes, but a bright future in their hearts. You know, dealing with their past was one of the big focuses of counseling opportunities that I've had there. Some are still having nightmares, and they're traumatized by the memories. And, I was asked, how can I get rid of my past? How can I get rid of it? My answer was, you can't change the past. It is what it is. But you can be free from it. You don't have to let your past define you. You know, when Jesus commands us to forgive those who hurt us, that command is incredibly transforming. You know, when you can truly forgive those who hurt you, then you can truly be free. Be free from your past. But the way to begin that path to forgiveness and freedom is to pray for your parents. Pray for your families. Pray for these people that hurt you. And as Pastor Tom says in the past, your first prayer might be, Lord, drop a pile of bricks on their head. You know, you might be angry, but continue to go to God with how you feel, with your feelings, with your memories, with your thoughts, and go to God with these people. And what will happen is over time, you will begin to see your parents and these people that hurt you as lost sinners. This is who we all are without Jesus. We have nothing without Jesus. And your parents are so lost and blind, and they're going to hell because they don't know the Lord. And you would be on a similar path if God didn't rescue you. Now, when you realize that, your heart's eventually going to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Pray that they would have the gift of salvation that you were given. Pray that God would show them the evil that's in their heart. Pray that God would reveal that to them, that they could see it. And pray that they would have the grace and the gift of repentance, the gift to turn from that evil. Because apart from God, it's not possible. And we're all lost without it. Through prayer, your heart will grow to a point where you can rejoice to know that God is your Father. He's the one who rescued you, and He gave you a new life, a new purpose, a new future, and a hope. And when you can truly forgive, you'll be free from the past. It won't control you. But you have to pray for those who hurt you. You have to pray for your parents. You know, a lot more was said, and they have a lot of work to go through. And they need a lot of love. But they know that through the hope that we have in the resurrection, they know that their mourning will be turned into joy. You know, the resurrection of Jesus gives us relationships that are eternal. You know, when we realized that our time was coming to an end, the big question was, when are you guys coming back? You know, my answer stemmed from the hope that we have in the resurrection. I told them that I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and I don't want to make a promise that I can't keep. It's really all up and according to God's will. We would like to come back. We can pray in that direction. But really, unless God wills it and opens it up for us, that's the only way it's going to happen. So I can't promise anything for sure. But what I do know for sure, what I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that because Jesus was raised from the dead, so we will have eternal life. So if we don't see you here, we will see you up there. And there we will be together forever. That I can't promise. We have that hope. We were challenged to let God change us through this experience. And the first challenge was to really see ourselves as missionaries back home. There might be someone in our families, like our mom or dad, that may need a hug or may need someone to just come up to them and offer a prayer and to pray with them. Someone at school may need a high five or some way to show that somebody actually cares. Someone at church might need an encouraging word. As it was said before, Mary challenged us to pray every morning for the Lord to give us each day one soul to bless. The second challenge is to surrender the American dream and live for eternity. If we really believe in the resurrection, if we truly believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then we need to be focused on investing in eternity instead of our earthly gain. As the village was being built, there was a little boy named Edgar, and he was one that had to leave the previous orphanage, had no place to go. He was an abandoned orphan. He was promised that he would have a place to go as soon as the village was built. And he would often ask, is my house built yet? Are you guys done with my new house? Well, as they were near completion, Edgar was trying to seek shelter by a supermarket and was electrocuted by a live wire that was hanging from the vent. How many Edgars are out there waiting and crying out for rescue, waiting for somebody to bring them into a home? Thank God that Oscar, Amy, and Mary abandoned the comfortable American life to try to give as many of these children the hope that we have in Christ. And by doing that, hundreds of lives over the last 20 years are changed forever. Jim Elliot said, "It's a wise person who gives what he can't keep to gain something that he can't lose. We can't keep our earthly riches, so why not make them permanent by investing them in the kingdom of God?" So the challenge is, what risks can we take, or pleasures can we renounce, that can only be explained as wise if there is a resurrection? Lastly, we can continue our ministry there by praying for the kids. We can pray for their healing and restoration. Specific prayers that were brought to my attention is that they're looking for a family in the United States to take one of the girls from the orphanage because she's allergic to the sun. Can you imagine living in Honduras and being allergic to the sun? So they're looking for a family in the States to bring her in so she can get the proper skin care. Another was for a sound system for the school. They can't hold assemblies without it. So they're looking for speakers, a mixer, and some microphones so that they can project over the kids. They said it's just a real setback for them. We can also buy coffee, and all the proceeds go to the ministry. We can also write to the children. The postmaster visits the orphanage 4 times a year, and they said when that person shows up, all the kids come running and just, "Hey, is there a letter in there for me? Did somebody write me? Is there something in there for me?" It's really a big deal. We can also sponsor a child there. That's how they fund a lot of the things. And also send Christmas presents. So those are the ways that we can continue our ministry there. So the challenge is to see ourselves as missionaries right here at home. Abandon the American dream and live for something greater. And continue to think globally by being an active part of missions. This experience was in a very positive way. Was very, very overwhelming. There are overwhelming opportunities to love and to be loved, to care and to be cared for, to give him Jesus and to receive more of him. I was talking with the older boys and they said, "You know, we see a lot of gringos come through here, but this was a really good team." And the principal of the school said the same thing. The hope that we have through the resurrection gave us purpose, gave us motivation, and the resurrection power made it possible, made it effective and eternal. We want to praise God for all the support, the love, the prayers that made this experience amazing. God's heart in us as a congregation really blessed his heart in them. Let's pray. Father, again, we want to thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for opening up the door. Thank you for revealing this to us and allowing us to participate in something so precious, so amazing, a whole new world. We thank you for that sight and that opportunity, Father. I pray that you would continue to stir us up to good works, continue to challenge us, continue to put this at the forefront, Father, that we wouldn't forget this. Father, again, we bless you, we thank you, and we just ask that, again, this would all be hidden in our hearts, that we may not depart from it. In Jesus' name, amen.